Spin Web Design.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, the Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, you remember we talked about the Jews, the physical descendants of Abraham and the modern state of Israel. And we talked about Christian Zionism. And we saw there that you can be a supporter of Israel if you want to. They're a close ally. That's great. But we're not Christian Zionists. And I explain why scripturally. Then last week, we talked about then who are the true descendants of Abraham. And we saw that the answer is, it's those who believe as Abraham believed, namely true Christians, both out of the Jews and out of the Gentiles. All who believe as Abraham believed in Christ and the gospel are Abraham's true children. Today, I'd like to look with you at one more sermon with Abraham as our theme, namely, will you enter the kingdom of the world to come to sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the world to come. Would you like to sit at the table with Abraham in the world to come? Well, how many will do that? How many are going to be granted access to that table and that kingdom and that world, the forever world of joy? And how many will be turned away at the door, the shut door, the closed gate? How hard is it to get there to that table? And how easy is it to get to that table? Well, let's take a look at that today, especially by looking at a passage, Luke 13, verses 22 to 30, where Jesus talks about these very things. So we're talking about getting into the kingdom and sitting at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the worlds to come. What can we say of that? Let's turn to Luke 13. I'll just read it, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. Okay, here we go. Luke 13, 22. You with me? Verse 22. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, tell you, I do not know where you've come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There you will weep and gnash your teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And men will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. These are the words of Jesus. So let's go through them now, again, verse by verse, to understand them better and more powerfully. Jesus' words, the truth. So let's start out with verse 22. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. What do we learn there? Who is Jesus specifically speaking to in these cases, in these words? The Jews, very good. So he's traveling through Israel, he's traveling through Judah, he's traveling towards Jerusalem. So these words that we're reading today are first and foremost for the Jewish people, the physical descendants of Abraham. Also to us, of course, because Jesus comes to save Gentiles as well. But let's remember the context is this is the people who expected 100% to be able to go almost automatically to eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom to come. That was the hope of the Jews, that they would most certainly enjoy those blessings. So it's first to the Jews, but this message, of course, is to all people as well. But it's first in the context to the Jewish people who hope to sit with Abraham in the kingdom. Verse 23. Okay, so as he's going, journeying towards Jerusalem, someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" So, who was this guy that said that? Who was this man? I don't know, but I'm sure thankful for him, aren't you? There's no better question the guy could have asked, because this introduces the most important topic ever, salvation and entering the eternal kingdom of God, whether you're going to go to the kingdom of the world to come or be damned in hell. Lord, will those who are saved be few? There's no better question the guy could have asked. Thank you, whoever you are, who asked this question. And the question is really, how many? How many are going to get in? How many are going to sit there in that at that table with Abraham? How many will inherit the world to come? Is it easy or hard to get there? Is it difficult or is it a breeze? So it's the best question, amen?
Yep.
It's also the best person to ask it to, would you say? I mean, of all people to ask it to, you're asking it to Jesus Christ, who is who? He is God in the flesh with us, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, God's anointed, God's chosen Son, and he's the one who's judge. He's the one who's going to decide on the last day who enters and who is shut out and turned away at the gates, at the door. So, best question, best person to answer it to. Let's look at what was said then. Lord, will those who are saved be few? And Jesus said to them. Notice he didn't just say it to the guy, he said it to everybody because it's to all of us. This is his answer. Will those who are saved be few? Jesus said, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So what do we make of that? What do we learn from those words of Jesus? Is it hard or easy to get into the kingdom of the world to come? What would you say?
Hard.
What did you say, Kevin?
Very hard.
Very hard. Good answer. Is it a wide door or is it a narrow door?
Very narrow.
Narrow. How narrow, Kevin?
Very narrow.
Oh, he's good. This guy is on the mark. Very narrow. We're to strive to enter it. Now, let me ask you, do you think that there was a answer that this man was expecting? We don't know. We don't hear exactly. But I imagine, I might suspect, that he was expecting a different answer. Why? Because the Jewish people, it seems, as you read the New Testament, kind of automatically expected themselves to get in by bloodline. You know, everybody there's, we're going to get in because we're physical descendants of Abraham. We'll sit with Abraham in the world to come because we're Jews, because of our bloodline, we are his physical descendants. So they all kind of assumed, more or less, to get there. And they also would say that you have to, you keep the law. But what did the Jews think of keeping the law? Yeah, we got it. We're doing that. We should be good. We can get in. This was one of Jesus' biggest problems throughout his whole earthly ministry, is he had to be like a battleship off the coast, turning his 16-inch gun turrets to blast the enemy coast to smithereens with this idea that they can get in by bloodline or by keeping of the law. Because they were all failing and Jesus had to make it clear. I tell you, Jesus said in another place, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Wow, that was shocking for the Jews. The guy came up and once said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. Everybody else is a sinner. So he had to tell him, turn his guns on that one. Jesus said in another place, he says, I am going away and you'll seek me and die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. I tell you that you would die in your sins. For you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. So what is he doing here? He's telling the Jews, you're not keeping the law, and there's only one way in, and if you don't come by that one way, you'll be damned. It's a narrow door, and what's the way in? The one way God has provided into the kingdom to sit with Abraham.
Jesus.
Jesus says, it's me. It is I. I am the way, I am the door. I'm the way in, you gotta come that way. So a lot of the Jewish people thought they're gonna get in by how good they are. Wrongly so. What do you think about Gentiles? The same? How about modern non-Jews, like the whole world, basically, today? Do you think they are in the same place? Oh, getting into heaven and the world to come, that's going to be basically automatic, right? Because after all, as long as I'm a decent fellow, I take my kids to soccer practice, and I don't kill anybody, and I die, I should just go to heaven, right? And have a world to come as well. It's automatic, it's easy. They're saying the same thing as the Jews said back then. It's automatic, it's easy. Jesus has to blast that out of the water here and say, no, many will seek to enter. You could maybe see most. And they will not be able. Wake up, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter, will not be able. This is a very pressing, urgent message I have for you today. A narrow door, you're to strive for. Matthew 7, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. But the gate is wide. The way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by that one are many. He says, but the gate is narrow and the way hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. In that case, Jesus actually answers the question clearly. It is few who actually enter. Many, most, will not be granted access. So don't go by the broad plateia in the Greek way, but go by stenos, the narrow way. It's not easy, eurochoros in the Greek, but the hard way, which is tethlimene, which means it's a way pressed with great evil, affliction, torment, difficulty, and tribulation. And you're to strive to enter through that door. Agonizomai is the word for strive. You know what that is in the Greek? This is really cool. They have public games, so it means basically to contend for victory in the Olympic Games. Okay, you're running like an athlete. Fight, it means. Wrestle and strain with every nerve, every fiber of your body, mind, soul, and spirit to the uttermost towards the goal for the prize. That's how you should run to enter the kingdom, the narrow gate of the world to come. Are you doing that? Well, what is the way to the kingdom then? What is the gate? What is the narrow door? Or we should say, who? Answer? It's Jesus Christ, he says. He says in another place, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. I am the door. And again, I told you to die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. So it's through faith, justified by faith in Christ, because Jesus had to make the way open. It's hard to get there. Can you say the word hard?
Hard.
How about Kevin? Would you say alone, say very hard?
Very hard.
It's very hard to get into the kingdom. There had to be a way made. Jesus, through His life, death, cross, and resurrection. See, by His cross, He paid for and atoned for our sins to forgive us. By His rising again, He won for us eternal life, that we, believing on Him, might be connected to that life, and we might enter the city by the gate, which is Jesus Christ. It's only through Him and no other way. Then, salvation's a gift to us, right? Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Having received salvation freely as a gift of His grace, we're then called to run the race. Fight the fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. And run for the prize to the end of our lives, all the way into His arms above. And then, on the last day, will be awarded us a crown, which God has prepared of righteousness to award to us on that day, and not only to us, but to all who have loved His appearing. So there is the running like an Olympic athlete, straining and striving for the prize. Is that how you run your race as Christians? Is that why you're here, to be encouraged in that? Jesus says, in so many words, go for it. Because He then warns, many will be in for a rude surprise at my coming. He goes on to warn us about that. He says, verse 25, when once the householder has risen up and shut the door, then you'll begin to stand outside and to knock at the door and say, Lord, open to us. He will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Whew, wow, right? That's shocking. Who is the householder here?
Lord.
Jesus, yeah, the Lord. What's it mean when he's risen up? When he gets off his throne to come back down to earth on the last day? And what's it mean he will shut the door? Well, in Revelation 3, Jesus is the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, who shuts and no one opens. He has the power of the door, the keys. And the good news is the key, the door into the kingdom is open today. Amen. And God is calling all people by the gospel today. Come one, come all. Jesus has died for your sins and has risen. Repent and believe in Jesus. Be saved, be justified by faith in him. Enter the city. Well, today is the day of salvation. You don't know when that door is going to shut. It's coming at a surprise, quick, fast time. And when he comes on the last day, those who were ready will enter. Those who believed and been saved will enter the city through the door to the sound of the trumpet and to the rejoicing of the angels. But to those who were not ready, that did not believe in but rejected the Christ and his gospel, they will stand outside and the door will be shut. Isn't that a fearsome thing? Say amen if you think that's fearsome. Remember when Noah went into the ark and God shut the door? How did you feel outside when the rain begins to flood and the waters of the deep rise to drown you? Well, they will begin to stand outside and cry, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he will say, I don't know where you come from. Isaiah 28. I think this is a verse kind of applicable. It will be sheer terror to understand the message. Imagine standing outside of the door at that moment when Jesus comes, the door being shut, you're still able to reach him by your voice, and you realize that he preached to you. He tried to save you. He did everything he could to win you to his salvation, and you rejected him, you shut the door on him. Now he shuts the door on you. Jesus says you'll begin to have an utter panic as you see darkness and gloom descending, eternal ruin plainly before your eyes. And you will shudder with a most dreadful and fearsome shudder and anguish at that sinking feeling of eternal doom before you. It's true. It's the way it's going to be, friends. I don't know where you come from. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What's it mean, I don't know where you come from? Doesn't Jesus know everything? Sure. But he knows those who are his. He knows the way that they take. He knows those who have believed in him, have been born of his spirit through faith in the gospel and in baptism. He knows where you come from if you're a Christian. You're born of heaven. You're a citizen. You have the passports. You are from heaven already. But for those who have rejected Christ, not believed in him, but scorned it, they were of the devil's kingdom, right? Their ways were ways of darkness. I do not know that place. I know where it is, but that's not my kingdom, and that's not my ways. Depart from me into the fire prepared for you. The devil and his angels shall say, Jesus, for you followed the devil, and where the devil goes, there must therefore you also go. Wow. I mean, these are real things. This is going to happen very soon, friends. So today is the day of salvation. And their fate being sealed, and a terrible and everlasting fate awaiting them, do you think they're going to give up at this point, outside the door? Jesus says, no, they're going to come and try to get in again. Verse 26, they're going to cry out in panic and desperation, but Lord, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. You know, this is the word Jesus was speaking to Jews, right? And they could literally say that. We saw you. We sat at table with you when you were on earth, Jesus. We heard you teaching in our streets. but I don't know you. You know, there's a big difference, friends, between seeing Jesus pass by and actually following him. Amen? Mm-hmm. There's a difference between just hearing and actually believing as Abraham believed. These didn't believe as Abraham believed. They are not his children, therefore they have no faith in him. Their fate will therefore be sealed by the shut door. For Jesus came to the Jews, to his own home, and his own Jews' home did not receive him, but to all who received him, he who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. But if you thrust him from you and reject him, then he will reject you and thrust you from himself. And do you think this could be said to, again, for the Gentiles as well? But Lord, we were Americans. It was a Christian country. We went to church on Easter and Christmas, or maybe even every week, and we heard you preached in our streets. We went to your classroom. We ate and drank in your presence, maybe of the Lord's Supper, of the church banquets. But he will say, verse 27, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You know, your works do bear witness whether your faith was true or not. If you heard but did not believe, when I called to you to follow, why did you refuse? As you rejected me then, so now I reject you. And there is no way in for you anymore, everlasting. The door is shut and shall never be opened again. How dreadful that will be on that day for those not saved. For Jesus goes on to describe what it's going to be like outside the door, the shut door. Verse 28. There, Jesus says, you will begin to weep and to gnash your teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now, do you think this shocked the guy who asked this question? I mean, the Jews were like, automatic, we're getting in, bloodline, keeping the law. Jesus is saying, you hope to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets whom you claim to love, but you've not believed as Abraham believed. You thrust me from you, I'm going to thrust you from me. You will not be entering that kingdom. The word for thrust there, by the way, is ekbalo, ball like a ball, and ek, out. Do you think when you're outside the door, hopefully you wouldn't have, none of us, but people outside the shut door, do you think they're like, oh, shucks, man, all right, we missed it, bow their heads and walk away chagrined? That's not what it says here. Ekbalo means the king will thrust you out, by force cast you out, by force hurl you into eternal prison, having rebelled as traitors against the true king. Well, the king will bring his justice against his enemies. It was necessary, says Paul, that the word of God should be spoken first to you Jews, since you thrust it from you and judge yourselves worthy of an eternal life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. And so if you thrust Jesus from you, Jesus will thrust you from himself into the eternal prison. That's Gehenna, hell, where you will weep and gnash your teeth. So no, it's not like God just, the king will destroy the wicked at the end of time and they cease to exist. They have eternal, everlasting, conscious torment and pain everlasting in prison and anguish and gnashing of teeth. Remember, friends, it's a fearful thing, Hebrews 10, to fall into the hands of the living God. He is a mighty king over all the earth. Indeed. And so, let's look at the good news now. What's the good news of all this passage? Door's open today, right? The day is the day of salvation. The gospel is being preached. Come one, come all right now and be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God didn't send the son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world might be saved through him. And the one who believes in Jesus will not and is not condemned. Will not be and is not condemned. I am the door, Jesus says. If you enter by me, you will be saved. You'll go in and out and find pasture. If you're born anew, born from heaven, you can see the kingdom of God. And you will not die in your sins if you believe that I'm he. Do you guys believe that today? Did some of the Jews believe? Well, yes, just not the greater number of them. So few of the Jews. How about the Gentiles? Jesus gives us a good word here in the second to last verse. He says, and men will come from east and west and sit at north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. You know, sitting there with Abraham. That's the Gentiles. Jesus predicts the gospel, the kingdom, will be taken from you and given to a nation producing the fruit of it. Paul and Barnabas said to the Jews, you know, you thrust it from you. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. They will listen. Have you heard? Have you believed in the gospel in Jesus Christ as Abraham believed? Then you will inherit the kingdom. And what a kingdom it's going to be, isn't it? Imagine on that day, the Lord comes. The door is open. He grants you access, richly provided for you, as Peter says. You walk into a broad land, flowing with milk and honey, sunlight, that is, of the Lord, blue skies, a table set, a feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, and the apostles, and all saints ever there at that table for everlasting joys and power and majesty with the King and his delight to pour upon you immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards you forever as his children. That's what we're striving for. And remember, the promise to Abraham was, by you, Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That is, by your offspring, who is Christ. All families is the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Are you included in that number? Well, we believe in Jesus Christ, friends. We believe his gospel as Abraham believed. And therefore, we are his true children. And therefore, we will inherit that kingdom with him of everlasting joy. We have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, we have the right, says the Bible, to the tree of life, that we may enter the city by the gates. And the gate is Jesus Christ. So great things are before us, but we need to run for it. And strive and run like Olympic athletes. Last verse. And behold, Jesus says, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. What does that mean? On that day of Jesus' coming, when he reveals himself from heaven, huge reversals, many, many surprises. The high, lofty, wicked of this world who are ruling now shall be cast down low and out. And those who are lowly, righteous, but humble of this earth shall be exalted. The last first and the first last. And even amongst us Christians who are going to sit at the table, we all have assigned seats according to what God's discretion is. So even there, I think, well, there'll be a lot of surprises. Oh, I thought this Christian was going to be way up there. He's kind of a little bit lower. And this person who is forgotten, scorned, and not thought much on, look, he's sitting up near the top, almost right next to Jesus. Many surprises. The last first and the first last. So what should we do? Answer is strive to enter by the narrow door. Keep to Jesus. Cling to the Savior. Follow where he leads and run for it like an Olympic athlete. And I know you guys are doing that as well. Let's encourage each other in it. For we're going to fight the fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Henceforth, there will be awarded to you on that day a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of everlasting joy by the King himself at that day because you loved his appearing. And the King will say to you, come now, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.